We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
I really want to care for the women that are lost in that space between, or they feel like they're falling through the cracks. I think about every time, whenever there's something hard that's coming up in business or like I'm having a bad day, I'm like, I just really want women to feel like they've been caught. I want to be able to catch you and be like, you're not invisible. You aren't sort of like lost in this space. Your body's trying to tell you something and you actually know the answers. I just want to help you.
Dr. Anthea Todd is here to simplify the ever-confusing landscape that is women's health. With a background in chiropractic, a dual master's in women's health medicine and reproductive medicine, and expertise in functional neurology, functional medicine, cardiometabolic health, gastrointestinal health, immunohormonal health, bioenergetics, and neuroemotional technique. That was definitely a mouthful. She's reshaping women's health and she's founded the Female Fundamentals to do so, having recently released her first book, What Is My Body Telling Me? Anthea's goal is to empower women and professionals to see their bodies as the solution, not the problem. She emphasizes that the solutions are always within and all we need to do is tune in and listen. She also sometimes gives health advice from the comfort of her skateboard. Today we chat about how to truly tune in and listen to what your body's telling you. We touch on times in Anthea's life when she hasn't been connected to her body, and we uncover the power of finding tools to support you in your own health in ways that last for life. Let's get into the chat. On this podcast, we discuss the learnings of life with extraordinary and everyday people because every human being has a story and every human being knows what it means to be alive. I'm Georgia May and this is Life Chats. Okay, Anthea, welcome to Life Chats.
Thank you so much for having me.
So excited because I've consumed your content for quite a while and I feel like it really does cut through the noise. There's so much health and wellness advice that exists on social media, especially if you're interested in that. It becomes like a bit of a silo of just all the same information. But I feel like yours is really refreshing because it's real, it's more raw and relatable. You're not claiming to have the answers for anyone. You're just kind of approaching it from, it could be this or it could be that. Let's look at everything. I guess for people who are not familiar with your work, what's your mission statement?
I really want to care for the women that are lost in that space between, or they feel like they're falling through the cracks. I think about every time, whenever there's something hard that's coming up in business or like I'm having a bad day, I'm like, I just really want women to feel like they've been caught. So that's like everything that I do when I'm working either one-on-one with a patient or if I'm setting up my business structures, and because everything's sort of gone a bit crazy after writing a book. It's been amazing. But now so many people are like, yes, this is my issue. And I, in a lack of a better phrase, it's like they want to be caught. I want to be able to catch you and be like, you're not invisible. You aren't sort of like lost in this space. Your body's trying to tell you something and you actually know the answers. I just want to help you.
Have you felt a little bit overwhelmed by the response of women who are all feeling the same way? Or did you know that that was going to happen?
I actually knew. So when I was writing the book, obviously when you, well, it was my first book. I'm not sure whether you've written a book,
No. But
I know you're a journalist. So you've probably
written lots of things. Yeah.
You hope it's going to do well. And I've been working with a kinesiologist coach behind the scenes for the last 2 years, working through lots of different things. I was thinking, I'm like, I'm worried that this is going to be a success because I'm unsure whether I'll be able to handle it. Like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people coming towards me. I hope so, but I am also like, oh, am I going to be able to deal with it? But yeah, I have been able to and it's been great and I've got a lot of support. So
what was your fear around that? Like, what was your hesitation? Was it, I don't have like the time for this, or emotionally I can't hold space for this many people? I guess what was the kind of reservations around it?
Yeah, I think I have a, I just want to help everyone.
Yeah.
And in turn, I end up not helping myself doing that. People often say when you write a book, it's a rite of passage and whatever you're writing about, you have to embody. So it was a very real embodiment of like, what is my body telling me? And it is telling me you need to stop. All the way through it towards the end, it was like, you need to stop. I'm like, I just have this deadline and I need to do these things and then I can rest. And I think a lot of the times it's actually been really great because I got to live through a lot of the guidance that I give my patients. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I know what it feels like to, what's the first thing that hits your mind when you wake up in the morning? Is it, oh my gosh, okay, I have to get the kids ready for school. I don't have kids, but it's like, what are the to-do yep. list things? Like, your feet hit the ground. It's like, okay, well, I have to do that, I have to do that, I have to do that. And you're thinking, how am I going to have time to get all that done? Mm. Or even if I did get things done, I'd be like, okay, we'll add that then.
Yeah.
So I never, the to-do list was never done.
Never ends.
Never ends. I'm like, and everyone's like, that's exactly how I feel. I don't have enough time in the day, or it's just like nothing's going to get done. So I'm like, okay, let's reshape that. And that's what I've done for myself. I think the biggest thing for me and what was screaming at me in terms of my physical symptoms was my skin got so bad. Mm. And then when I pivoted and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm realizing the way that I define whether I've had a good or a bad day or not is how much I got done on my to-do list. Mm. I didn't realize that that was actually sort of, I call it like your GPS, like where my GPS yep. was set for the day. So then I pivoted and I'm like, okay, I don't want to get to the end of my life and have done all these amazing things and helped so many people, but I wasn't actually there for it.
Yeah.
I don't want
You're thinking
that.
About your to-do list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was thinking, okay, that's amazing. I did that. And that's what I did before the book. I was like, okay, I'll finish this one degree, then I'll do the next one. Mm. I'll start the second master's before I finish the first one. And I'll do all these things. And it's like, okay. And I didn't realize what I was doing. I was like, oh, I'm doing it because I love it.
Yeah.
It's so, I'm like, of course I would do it. It's interesting. It's amazing. Yeah. But I never stopped. And that's what I realized after the books was like one of the biggest things that I ever did. And I was like, I don't want to then go to the next thing and not celebrate. Mm. And that really made me shift and pivot and go, oh, I do that on micro levels throughout the day. How can I just be like more alive in the day? Like that's what I want. And that's when we can do that. Oh my gosh, it's so healing for our physical body as well. But also that we actually get to experience life. It's like the best thing ever.
Exactly. Rather than just being mindless to what you have to get through and what you have to achieve and what's next, not just in the day, but I find for myself, it's like, what's the next step of my life? I was always chasing like, I knew I wanted to move to America. I knew I wanted to finish my master's. I knew I wanted to do this, start this business. So it was like always ticking those boxes. And then I actually did move to America and I'm not joking. I got there and I was like, I don't even want to be here. I don't even want to be in LA. Like, why am I here? And then it also caused the same sort of like identity shaping for me of like, why have I been chasing things that aren't actually what I want?
Yeah. And what was driving that? How I look at someone's body is I'm really using a medical, a functional and an energetic lens. Mm-hmm. I really love to use all of them because I feel like that's what I learned across studying across all fields. I'm like, the healthcare system isn't set up with the person in the middle. It's like, okay, we want to look at, do you fit my scope? No. Okay. There's nothing wrong with it. It's like, but I still feel all these symptoms. And that's really those people that are lost in the space between. So I really wanted to really focus on, okay, that energetic of where do you actually want to go? What is your intention? And why do you want it? Like, why did I actually want to move to America?
Yeah. Like just to tick the box.
Exactly.
Or,
it's like, oh, because it would be cool to have the experience. It's like, yeah, but like, why do you want it?
It was wild. I was speaking to my boyfriend at the time and I was like, I've just had this light bulb moment that this is actually what my 16-year-old self wanted to do. Ooh, my 28-year-old self didn't want to move to America. I wanted to stay in Bondi. But my 16-year-old self was like, I'm going to live in LA one day and I'm going to move to America. And I was fulfilling that, which was just not in alignment at all.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Something you just mentioned, you have a medical, functional and energetic approach to health. For those listening that might be like a bit confused about the differences between those, can you just define or your definition of those approaches?
Yeah. So a medical approach is stereotypically like the mainstream Western healthcare system. Very much you go to the doctor, they do a whole host of tests. They're looking for Those tests are looking for, do you need medication or surgery? Is there something significantly bad for you to need our help? Mm-hmm. And if you don't need medication or surgery, it's like, this is amazing. This is awesome. You don't need us. That means you're great.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah. So when I originally trained as a chiropractor and my upbringing, both my parents were chiropractors. So I wasn't really involved with the medical system per se, but very much sort of on the outskirts and used it. So when I went and studied I studied a dual master's in women's health medicine and reproductive medicine, medicine, everyone's really smart. They know what they're talking about, but they literally just like, okay, if it doesn't show up in a test, there's nothing wrong with you. Congratulations. It's awesome. You don't need us. So that can be really frustrating when we're like, don't need the medication or surgery, but we still feel like there's something going on. And that's literally chronic illness. It takes time to come about. So we're missing those warning signs. So that's where I look at then the functional lens is really going, okay, what does your body actually need to function? Mm. And that's exactly what you said at the start. It's like the health and wellness industry is super confusing. What do I do? Am I meant to be doing arts baths every morning or saunas or this green tea juice?
Vegan, or paleo, exactly. Carnivore, et cetera, like, et cetera, et cetera.
What the hell am I meant to do? This food is really bad. I literally got off a consult yesterday with a patient and she's doing the AIP diet, which is really just basically trying to cut out any foods that are inflammatory. Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's been sort of good, but it's hit a roadblock and it's not helping me as much. And I'm finding that I'm really fearful of foods.
Wow.
Because it basically cut out a lot of foods. Mm. And I'm like, okay, well, the reason why possibly you're reacting to this food that's egg, say, eggs have been around for a very long time. We've been eating them for a very long time. You're getting good quality eggs that are actually eggs and not fake eggs.
Yep.
So your body recognizes it. So why is it reacting with your body? Maybe it's not the food. Maybe it's you.
Mm.
What part of your digestive system digests it? So it's like it's really looking at the functional. Where we get lost and confused is when we're thinking the thing outside us is going to fix us. That's where we get confused. It's the ice bath that's going to fix us. It's the diet that's going to fix us. It's the meditation that's going to fix us. What those things are doing is it's actually caring for what I call your four female fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your body needs to balance for your body to work well.
What are the four female fundamentals that you just mentioned?
So your female fundamentals are your nervous system, metabolism, nutrients, and blood sugars. Mm-hmm. So you could be like, okay, for instance, keto diet. Why is that important? Because it's looking after your blood sugars, one of the fundamentals. But if you're doing the keto diet and you are hating your life, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't go out and it's really stressful and now I'm fearful of these foods. What's happening is your nervous system fundamental is getting a bit off balance. And also maybe you're cutting out some of your core nutrients and you're not getting carbohydrates. Like say, for instance, a woman that's in puberty or in her early 20s, we need carbohydrates. Mm. They're actually really beneficial for creating the hormones that go from our brain to our ovaries to stimulate our hormones.
Yep.
So it's like that's actually might not be ideal. Mm. How can we actually help support our fundamentals and focus on that? And then we're changing our lifestyle, not going, this thing's the thing that's going to fix us.
Yep.
All we need to do is go, okay, how do I care for my fundamentals? Mm-hmm. What's going to feel good for all of them? Do that. And your body's like, amazing. Thank you so much. You've given me what I needed.
Yes. So just list them again, sorry for us.
So we've got our nervous system, which is, I sort of imagine it like a car. So you need all the parts of a car, right? So your nervous system is like the driver.
Yep.
So your nervous system is looking at what's going on inside the car, aka inside the body, and what's going on outside. For instance, it's hot outside this room, so we will probably we would sweat more.
Yep.
In here, it's a bit cooler, so it's like, okay, I'm glad I've got clothes on, but if I didn't, I might start to shiver.
Yep.
So my body's trying to balance that, and that's what the role of the nervous system is. Then we have our metabolism, and metabolism is sort of like the engine of a car. Lots of people think metabolism, you're unlucky if you've got a slow one, and you're lucky if you've got a fast one. Your metabolism is just how well your body converts energy. That's literally what a car engine does, right? It converts fuel into motion. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we want our cells to be able to do. So sometimes it could be too slow and sometimes it could be too fast. But our metabolism also changes depending on what's happening with our nervous system and our other fundamentals.
Yep.
And then our nutrients are the other one. So our car needs fuel.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure we don't put tomato juice or pineapple juice or
vodka.
Vodka into the car, right? It's not going to run on that.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure we're putting the appropriate mixture of fuel. Yep. But then also, and this is I think where a lot of people get caught up in diets and things, they go, okay, well, it's just about what I'm putting in, which is one factor. Like we need to put the right fuel into a car, but can that fuel get to the engine? Can the engine actually use it? Does it have the other, an engine needs oil and radiator fluid and all the other things to help it work. And then can it excrete it? So that's where it's like, okay, well, we need to look at maybe you're having the best diet, but you're not absorbing it because your nervous system's really stressed and your gut's like, no, I don't want to do it.
Wow.
So that's why you have to take it all into consideration. And then the last one is your blood sugars, which is if you imagine your car like a hybrid car, our body's really smart. If we don't have food for a while, it starts to use the food on our body, our fats, our muscle, our stored energy in our liver as well. So
interesting.
Those are all the four and they all work with each other. So sometimes I see people that are like they have their blood sugars are dialed in, they're moving their body, they're out in sunlight, they're really supporting their metabolism, they've got the nutrients right, but they're super stressed.
Interesting.
So then all of the other ones will alter.
It's like when I had an issue with IBS, I got back from a trip in Asia and I had I got these parasites and all these things happened and I ended up developing IBS for a period of time. But I feel like because I was so stressed about the fact that I had IBS, I just couldn't seem to heal my gut. So it was like I was cutting out all these food groups and I was trying to get on top of it and nothing was working until I realized, oh, the fact that I'm anxious and stressed is literally exacerbating this issue. And it's just this cycle of I can't get on top of it, which makes it worse. And you can feel very, I think, disempowered in your health at times as a woman in this world.
Massively. Yeah. And that's sometimes the trap that when we use the medical lens, we're like, okay, say for instance, I've got something wrong. I've got IBS symptoms or I'm feeling really fatigued. Mm. I'm going to go to the doctor and get some tests done. That is an amazing first step. We want to make sure that it's not anything really nasty that's going to kill you. Great. They rule it out. Often what they say is there's nothing wrong. Don't stress so much. They say all those things, right? Mm. That's not a helpful way to talk to
someone. It's very disvalidating.
Yeah, it 100% is. It's not empowering. But then when we go, okay, well, great. It means I'm not dying. Mm. If I need medicine, it means something bad is happening. Then we go, okay, functionally, yes, stress is a part of it. Being concerned about it is a part of it. But also we can't just tell someone to not stress about it but then also not give you the tools. Yes. And also the reason why you're feeling how you're feeling. Because I think I see so many people, they're like, oh, they just told me there's nothing wrong, but I really want to understand why my body's doing this. Mm. And that's really where I'd say the golden two rules of the body are, it is always looking out for you, no matter how crappy your symptoms are and how much you hate them. It's actually the body's way of telling you what it needs.
Totally.
So it's a great thing. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is your body, all it wants to do is balance. That's it.
Wow.
Keeping in balance. It's called homeostasis.
Yeah, yeah.
But how it balances is you care for those fundamentals. And then get out of its way. It knows what to do.
With the women that you're working with, do you feel like that there are similarities across what women are experiencing in terms of conditions? Are there, do you seem to work with the same archetype of woman over and over again? Or does it really stretch across the spectrum of all sorts of different functional, energetic, I guess, concerns?
Yeah, there's definitely different concerns. I see there's sort of maybe three types of archetypes, I suppose. There's people that come and see me and they have been diagnosed with, say, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is an autoimmune thyroid condition, or endometriosis or PCOS. They've hit certain markers on a medical lens, but the medicine with those chronic conditions, it's just about managing it. It's not like you have an infection, we give you antibiotics, it's done, see you later, move on. It's like you've got Hashimoto's thyroiditis, take this medication, you're going to be on it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So then those patients are like, but that doesn't seem like, this is not seeming like it's going to be a good road. I need some support and help with this. So that's where they come to me and we go, okay, let's actually figure out why this is happening. Yep. I had a patient, she had that exact scenario and we did some functional testing. I love to do hair testing as a functional test. And she had really high levels of arsenic for her. Mm. We reduced that. We supported all four of her fundamentals. All of her symptoms went away. She got pregnant. She wanted to fall pregnant.
Wow.
She got pregnant naturally. She didn't have to go through the whole IVF.
Wow.
Also, because she was healthier, her baby was healthier, her pregnancy was healthier. She just had a healthy, healthy baby. It was amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
She messaged me and she said, on the doctor's report in the hospital, they said patient adamant she has Hashimoto's thyroiditis ? Because they're like,
you don't.
They didn't believe her that she did. So that was where, in that case, I'm not saying it's the same in every case, but for her, it was like, okay, we needed to use that functional lens to understand why that was happening for you. So for her, it was because one of her nutrients, she had a bad toxic level of a nutrient that we needed to reduce and support her other fundamentals. Some people, it's like you have a genetic history and energetically, we think about the thyroid, the throat chakra. It's like, what aren't you getting off? Like, what causes a lump in your throat? Mm.
What are you saying?
Yeah, it's all of those things as well. It's like, when did it start? Like, I sort of see the body as this amazing, wonderful sort of puzzle that you're like, oh, okay, that's coming in. Why is that happening?
Yeah.
And when we know that number one rule that our body's looking out for us, we go, okay, how does that fit into this? It's not doing it by accident. How does that fit into the whole picture? And then to finish off that energetic lens, as I alluded to, that's like the GPS of the car. So sometimes, and that's what I say to people, it's like sometimes you're in your car and you've lost a tire or you've popped a tire and you have to call roadside assist. That's medicine. Sometimes you need to call for help.
Yeah.
Amazing. And sometimes you need them. We need to know that they're there. Mm. Yeah. And then functional is, do you actually have all of the things that your car needs to work?
Yeah. If they fix the tire, will it still drive?
Exactly, yeah, right? Yeah. So that's where we're like, okay, we need to actually care for it and we need to go in for services when it's needed and actually look after it, right? But then our energetics are that GPS. So sometimes people's GPS, like I said before, when I woke up, my GPS was, what are your to-do list? And you have to get it done and I never have enough time. Mm-hmm. That was the story that was running on in my head. So that was where I was programmed. So no matter how well I was looking after my fundamentals, I kept on going down a bumpy road that was causing like, hello, you're going to get a pop tire.
Yeah.
Or you're too far
away
from
a crash.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, okay, what do I actually want? Let's set this GPS, mm-hmm. give my body what it needs, the car. It's like, hallelujah. It's amazing. Everything's working well.
Much more empowering.
Yeah.
So just to take a little bit of a rewind, have you always been really interested in, you just said something before that just flicked a switch for me. You're like, that's interesting. I wonder what that's telling me about my body. Have you always been like that or is that a skill that you've developed through your work?
I've always been like that.
Wow.
So it was my upbringing. So I was adjusted from 1 hour of being born. Both my parents are chiropractors.
Wow.
And my grandma became a naturopath when she was 50.
At 50?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, and two of my siblings, my younger sister's just about to graduate. She's a chiropractor. I'm one of five kids. So mm-hmm. two of them are.
Yeah.
Aunties, uncles, everyone sort of was of that belief of your body is always looking out for you. What is it trying to tell you? You have a headache, don't reach for a Panadol. It's like, well, why do you have a headache? Let's figure that out. We would play games.
I heard this literally. When I was researching, I heard you tell this story, but please tell us.
I was laughing today on my walk because I was walking past someone and he had a antalgic gait, meaning he was leaning over to one side, walking on the beach. And I was thinking, he probably has an L5 nerve root lesion and he's leaning that way to open up the IVF space. And then I just started laughing to myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, like
trained behavior.
This is hilarious. And then I was like, okay, go back to the present, feel the sun on my skin, like all the different things. But we would drive through Melbourne CBD. I'm originally from Victoria and mum and dad would be like, okay, that person, what do you think might be going on with them? What about that? What about that? Their hair's, their part in the middle is doing that. What deficiency could that be? Or they're limping on this side. Is it a knee or an ankle or a hip? So that's just what I grew up with and what I've loved. Like I would come home from, I wrote this story in the book. When I was in grade two, we had to do an assignment where it was like, pick a topic and research it. So lots of kids did like dogs or trees or flowers. And I was like, the body, duh.
Like, you're like the autonomic nervous system.
Yeah, seriously. And I came home, mum had five kids. She's like, wait till your dad gets home from work. So I did that. He's like, all right, this is the hippocampus and this is the sternocleidomastoid and this is this. And then, yeah, I still remember the look on my teacher's face when I took it back to her. She's like,
Did you write this?
Yeah. So that's just, I just find it really curious. I love human beings, just like you love understanding people's stories. I'm like, I love understanding the story of someone's body. Like, why is that happening? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think when you have the ultimate reverence for the body and love for the body, it's a curiosity that you're asking with versus like, why is it happening?
Shaming
yourself.
It's
so annoying.
Yeah.
It's just like, nothing the body does is annoying. And trust me, sometimes I say that to patients and they're really struggling with lots of things that are chronic and it can sometimes feel like a kick in the teeth. Mm. And when I had really bad cystic acne that was like blood filled and I'm like, oh my gosh, it was very hard for me to look at myself in the mirror and go, okay, like, what are you telling me?
Yeah, thank you
like,
so much.
Thank you. I'm just like, no, I hate this. I don't want to go out. So it's just like, okay, when we can actually really come back to that belief of it is looking out for you and then go, okay, well, where in my life might I not be going towards what I want, aka the GPS? Yep. What am I telling myself? What are the stories and beliefs that I have about myself? Mm-hmm. And then where am I not looking after my fundamentals? That's like, okay, if you can care for them, majority of your issues will go away. And that's where it's like, okay, medicine is there when you need it, but it is not the thing that's going to tell you whether you have an issue or not. Your body is. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of people go, oh, but the doctor said this. I'm like, healthcare isn't a ranking system.
What
it's
do you mean
matchmaking.
By that?
So it's not like medicine is the best and if they say there's nothing wrong, then you just have to agree with them. No, it's not like medicine and then chiropractic, naturopath, osteo, physio, kinesiology. Like how are you ranking it? Other people might be, I see people that are like, I hate doctors. I'm never going to go see them. I don't trust them. So they're ranking it here.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's dangerous when we use a ranking. it's the same as like dating. Yeah. Like, oh, that person's a 10, that person's this. It's like, that person's a 10 for that person.
Yeah, for you. Yeah.
But for another person, they're absolutely not.
Yeah.
So that's where it's a matchmaking. And the thing that you use to decide which type of care you need is your body. It's not your bias.
Interesting.
Because a lot of people have a bias. And that's where sometimes people could be like, oh, you have a bias towards natural things, or you have a bias towards medical things.
Yeah.
I think growing up, I possibly received that a lot from friends because people would be like, I have a headache. They've got Panadol in their blazer pocket. And I'd be like, oh, I probably just need like some quiet and some water.
Take some deep breaths.
Yeah. And I'll be good. Or like maybe I'm tired, I'll just sleep. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's really important to use your body, not your bias.
Why do you think that there seems to be, this is just from my personal experience, I'm not like generalizing the whole medical industry, but why do you think there seems to be this rivalry between natural therapies and traditional medicine? Just in my own experience, like when I had IBS, my doctor was like, take this medication. And then I went to a naturopath and the naturopath was like, go and get all these tests, but your doctor has to order them. And my doctor was like, you don't need those tests. So why are you going to a naturopath? Almost this like rivalry of my expertise versus your expertise. I think it's very hard to find like holistic practitioners like yourself who are more integrative.
Mm.
Where has that existed and where has that come out of?
It's really interesting because I've studied across the different fields.
Exactly.
And I have also grown up in a more naturally focused, but then also we had lots of family friends that were local surgeons, local GPs. Mm-hmm. I had heart conditions and I had to get surgery when I was younger. So it's like I've been around all sides and there's ego for every side. Mm-hmm. Every side has an ego. And I think it's when you fall into the trap as a practitioner of thinking you're the one that's going to fix them. And that's something that I've really had to remind myself every day because you really want to help. That's your thing. It's like people are coming to you for the answer. But the main thing that I want people to realize when they come to me is they already have the answer.
It's in them. Yeah.
Your body literally is telling you, I'm guiding you and I want to guide you in whichever tools it's saying it needs. It's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what does your body need? And it could be medication. It could be that you need to tell your ex to fuck off. It could be that
you need to block some people out of your life.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's just listening to your body curiously and going, okay,
yeah,
that's what I need. I need a combination of these things, or I need that first and then this, or I think it's ingrained because there's a ranking.
Okay.
And people have chips on their shoulder about different things. But when you take yourself out of it and you just go, well, I just want to know what's happening with this body.
I want to help this person. Yeah.
And then it also helps you go, I'm not the right person. This person is. But you don't take it personally. But it's a daily thing you have to remind yourself of.
I can imagine because you would probably, you see the results of the people that you work with and you know that you have so much knowledge and wisdom to share. So I would probably feel attached to the outcome as well. It's like, I want to help this person. I want their lives to be better.
Yeah. And you have to acknowledge like, I did play a role in that, but also they did too.
Yeah, they made the decisions and they changed.
Yeah.
A quick break from the episode to speak about our reviews. Now, Life Chats has recently hit over 30,000 listens, which is honestly incredible. So exciting. But we only have 18 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is a bit sad. So it would mean the world if you could just take 1 minute out of your day to leave a written review for us, either on Apple or Spotify. There is truly so much time and care and effort that goes into these episodes. I research, edit, host, distribute, do everything all by myself. And I don't make any money from this show. I do it because the stories deserve to be heard and I truly love it. So if you could do that review, that would mean the world. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Life Chats Podcast if you don't already. The goal is to build a bigger community so I can continue producing these inspiring conversations. Thanks so much for being here. Back to the episode. You just mentioned heart surgery. What has your own relationship with your body been like? I am wondering if you look back on that now with a different perspective to when you were going through it, what meaning do you make around health issues that you've had or are going through?
When I was having the heart surgery, so I was 13 to 15, so I had 3 different heart surgeries and lots of different investigations. So basically I had a hole in the top between the top 2 chambers of my heart, which basically mixes the oxygenated and deoxygenated blood. Mm. I loved sport growing up, so I would always just be like, never take me off. But my nails would be blue. My lips would go blue. I'd have to take the next day off school.
Oh my God.
Because I'd be exhausted because my body was literally operating on half the oxygen effectively. But I never wanted to stop. So I'm like, yeah, we need to get this fixed. And then I also had some extra centers in the heart that wanted to sort of beatbox instead of my heart just naturally having a rhythm. It was like going crazy. I'd be sitting here, it would be 200 beats.
You could feel it as well. Yeah.
So it was scary because one of the surgeries I had to be awake for because they tried to do it when I was asleep and they're like, we can't stimulate the heart enough. You have to be awake. So I laid on the operating table and I could see, it was like a live x-ray. So it was black and white and I could see my heart beating in my rib cage and then this catheter that went through my groin coming up and going into the heart and they were burning off different parts of my heart. And I was 14 at the time. So it's interesting because I used to just think about it from a curious perspective. It's like, oh, wow, like how amazing is this? And I was obsessed with Grey's Anatomy and like all the body. I'm like, oh, this is really cool that I get to experience this. But I sort of blocked out shit that was actually really quite scary.
A bit traumatic.
And I had another sort of investigation where I had to swallow this camera down my throat. It was quite a thick tube and they were looking at my heart from the inside. And I was literally like, it felt like I was choking. And they're like, it's fine, relax, relax. I'm like, this is like, I'm bawling my eyes out trying to like calm down. So yeah, I think back to it now and I'm like, wow, that actually was pretty scary. At the time, I just went into my mind. And I was like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
So I didn't really feel that until recently. I'm like, okay, actually just feel what my body's telling me. Mm-hmm. Because I act like a lot of people use my mind. It's like, okay, well, I can reason this and there's logic there and okay, great. And your mind is amazing. It's been amazing for me to be able to gather all this knowledge. Yep. But it can detach you from your body and that's where you can run into trouble because you actually end up not making decisions from your body. And that's there's a quote that I have in my book as well that my dear friend told me. And she's like, you know, when you use your mind to make decisions, you're using your body as a resource. But when you use your mind as a resource, you get to use your body to make decisions.
Wow.
So it's like, oh, so that's where it's, okay, I'm trying to make decision on what path to take. Should I move to America? Yeah. Should I take this job? Should I get with this person or no? Yeah, or like whatever the decision is. It's like, okay, yes, we can take into consideration all of these different factors, our past, what's happening now, other people in our life, all the things. But then it's ultimately like, okay, then you need to get still, get quiet. So many famous people talk about it. Oprah Winfrey talks about it. She's like, okay, get still and listen.
Yeah.
And that's where you're listening to your body and you're going, you make a decision in your mind, you go, that didn't feel good in my body. That's a no then.
And then you start to develop that ability to be able to do that and tune in more consciously, I guess, rather than it being so difficult to access that sort of feeling.
Yeah. And I think when a lot of us, some things happen in our younger life and we just go, okay, no, I'm going to shut that down. I don't want to feel what's going on in my body. I'm just going to go into my head. So that's where you can become an overachiever or you might become addicted to numbing substances, addicted to video games or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is because you're like, I don't want to feel whatever is going on here.
I feel like I'm hearing myself speak back to myself. This was kind of my journey because I remember going to a massage therapist when I was like 14 and saying, I feel like I'm a walking head. Like I feel like I have no body below here. I just exist in here. And so I was kind of aware that I couldn't access my body, but I didn't really know why. And then it wasn't until like 10 years later working with my therapist, she's like, you're intellectualizing all your feelings. You're not actually physically, viscerally feeling what you're feeling. You're just trying to logicize why you're feeling that way and why you might have been put in this position rather than just saying, okay, I feel scared. Like I'm just going to feel that and I'm okay and I'm safe. Mm. So it's kind of life-changing work to be able to go from what you just said, that disconnected link and then, okay, I can either use my mind to call my body or my body to call my mind.
Yeah. And I think powerful. That's what when I'm helping people in that energetic space, I'm just like, okay, the first thing we need to be is, let's build some awareness of your body. Like actually, because a lot of people are like, I can't feel that at all.
I was just going to say, there are probably people listening who are like, that's me. Where do they start?
Yeah. So that's literally where you start to build awareness. And this is, I have literally gone through this process myself in the last 2 years with my kinesiologist coach, dear friend. She's amazing. So she basically, I remember her saying, so like, how do you feel? And I'd be like, What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Yeah, had a really good day. No, how do you feel?
Yeah, exactly. Or like I would cry in a session and I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. She's like, no, it's. And now I go and see her and I'm like, I feel like I need to cry, but it's not coming. Like, come on, make me cry. And she's like, how hilarious is it that now you welcome all of these emotions, yeah. but I would shut them down for me, and there's different stories for everyone, but for me, I was fearful that if I felt that, that would be what I always feel.
Right.
So I didn't want to always feel sad or always feel angry or always feel whatever it was. I'm like, oh, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Which doesn't actually happen because in your body you actually experience it physiologically for 90 seconds if you fully feel it. And then you can return to a natural baseline. But that's where it's like, okay, well, a lot of us don't want to feel that awareness because we don't actually feel safe to hold it. So the first thing is we need you to feel safe. So if you are in an environment that does not feel safe, the number one thing to do is get into a safe environment. External, internal balance. Yep. That's what we need. Yep. So it's like, okay, externally you're in a safe environment. Now let's build on creating that safety inside. So some of the first things to do is just build body awareness. So I would have a bath. I love baths. So do something that you love. Yep. And I would literally just self-massage. So I'd be like massaging the muscles in between my hands. I'd be like firmly massaging my body and getting to know it and be like, oh, okay, like this is nice. Like actually physically touching and just paying attention to how it feels. That was it. And it's like, okay, now I'm just going to like move and shake. And now I'm just like, after doing consistent and just like tapping into my body, asking it, is there anything you'd like to let me know? Feeling where I can feel tightness. I'd be like, okay, that feels tight. Okay, you can be here.
Yeah.
Not trying to resist it. Not going to be like, why is it tight? What's this? And trying to solve the answer. It's like, okay, that's tight. That's good. So you're just becoming aware and not having that judgment. And now I'm like, oh, I feel the sensation in my body before I consciously recognize what the emotion is that I'm feeling. Or sometimes, often now, I shake. Like, you know how dogs, when they first wake up, they sort of like shake? That's what my body does now.
Do you do it involuntarily? Wow.
Involuntarily, yeah. So when I would do the sessions, my coach would be like, she's like, you need to get up and move. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'm literally feeling nothing. And now I'm like, oh my God, I'm so uncomfortable, like all these different things. So if you feel like you need to move, move. Mm-hmm. And this is another thing that you can do is like, if you feel like you need to go to the toilet, go to the toilet. If you feel cold, get a jumper.
Isn't it interesting?
If you're hungry, eat. So just like pay attention to the normal things that your body is giving you signals towards and then act on it. And then when you act on it, you don't ignore it, then that strengthens the connection.
Why do we shut those instincts off? Why do you think we've become a society or we've been conditioned in a way where it's like, yeah, I'm working, I'm so deep in my work that I'm going to ignore the fact that I need to go to the toilet and I'm going to go in 2 hours' time, even though I know I should. Where does that come from?
Well, I think that sort of speaks to the nuance of everyone thinks their body's annoying if it's not performing exactly how it should because it's a performance tool.
Right.
It should be supporting your life. It's like, no. Your life should support your body. Your body's going to tell you if your life is not supporting it. Going to tell you in your symptoms.
It's going to tell you sooner rather than later, even if you ignore it.
100%. You can't.
Wow.
You literally cannot. That's why it's like you use your body to make the decision, not your mind.
I've noticed that. I'm like, if I'm at work and I feel like I need to go to the toilet, this is not more important than me literally relieving my bladder.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Georgia, I'm better than that. So it's just about those small decisions that you make that fortify your sense of like self-worth even, that you're worthy of just listening to yourself and validating what you need.
Yeah, and that sort of priority, like sometimes our priorities are a bit
skewed.
And our symptoms will tell us or our life will start to tell us when things. I know I was listening to a podcast yesterday and it was like, oh, my partner was diagnosed with cancer and she's like, okay, well, that really reshaped my priorities. I was like, okay, well, you're important. These emails that I haven't got back to in a week, they're not important. I'm just going to delete them. So I was like, oh, wow, that's a really great, it's quite abrupt.
Perspective shift.
It's like, okay, amazing. How could I do that? And that's why now whenever I experience symptoms, I'm like, okay, where am I out of alignment with what I actually want? And do I think I want that? Why do I think I want that? Is it because I saw something on Instagram or this person has it? Sometimes it is actually really cool when you see someone have something and you notice you have that jealousy or envy or something and you're like, that's really cool.
It's a positive tool.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, okay, I want something of that. Is it that they have that or is it that they have the feeling that that gave them? Okay, which is it? And how could I get that myself?
That's so interesting. Like, it's not the validation of having the shiny object. It's the feeling of worthiness that's tied to it that you might want instead.
Yeah.
I guess tell me about a time where you weren't connected to your body. Like, how long do you have?
How long do we have? So many times. Even in micro moments, you could do it in a day, like today when I noticed that I was on my walk and I was looking at that guy going, how fascinating. And that's not a bad thing that I was like, oh, okay, my mind. And then I was like, okay, I want to come back to my body. That was my intention today, was just to really live this day and love it and be in it. I'm like, okay, that was my intention. And when I set that today, I was like, okay, great. But I guess in terms of like a bigger instance, when I was not in my body, after I'd had all of my heart surgeries and everything was fine, about 5 years later, I was 18 or 19, and I experienced the crushing chest pain, similar to like a heart attack type pain, pale, sweaty, clammy, all the things where you're like, red flag, probably need medicine, right? Let's go and look at that. So mum rushed me to the GP and they hooked me up to the ECG, all the cables. And he's like, you need to go to emergency. You might be having a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Based on the scan. And I was like, no, I'll be fine. Mum's like, we are going. So we went to ED. They rushed me straight in. You have to be in there for 6 hours to get your troponin level. So they take the blood. They have to wait and see what's going on to see whether there's damage to the heart muscle. And they came back. They're like, you're not having a heart attack. We think your scans are just like that because of the burning surgery that you've had. So that's just what yours is going to be. It didn't mean that I was making up the chest pain though. So it's like medicine, I didn't need it, but also I need it to make sure I didn't.
Luckily
need
you
it.
Checked, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But then I was like, okay, well, functionally, okay, I was thinking all those things, but energetically I was not aware of my body. I wasn't in it. I wasn't actually getting what I needed to get off my chest.
There was like a specific thing that you were struggling with?
I had a fight with my older brother.
Wow.
And I was just like, and I was so angry. And I used to bottle up emotions and be like, oh, you're the cool girl. Like nothing phases you. Like it's all good. And then one little thing and I would just snap.
React.
My older brother, as older brothers do, love to tantalize and tease. Mm-hmm. So he would do that and just push my buttons until I would snap. And then he'd call me a psycho and all the different things. Yep. So we are great friends now. We get along very, very well. But part of that in my upbringing was like, okay, well, you can't say what you need to. People won't understand it, or you'll be labeled crazy or a psycho or whatever for saying what you need. So that's where I would just be like, okay, just shove it down.
Yeah.
Shove it all down. And then suppress my body's it. Like, well, we're going to tell you. We're going to tell you with this crushing chest pain.
Wow.
And it's like, oh, okay, right. That's what it was.
It's incredible.
So that's where when it's like the energetics is when all of the other things are fine. And it's like, okay, your body's still telling you something. And that's where I'll often get people to do a body scan and just like be curious with that part of their body, wherever it is. Just be like, what is it you're trying to let me know?
But what have you stored there that you might not have even realized for years? Yeah. You've been kind of just ignoring that.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, right. That's what it was. Okay.
So I feel like this work is so powerful. Once you are curious about it, it's almost like the door opens up and you're like, oh my gosh, it's not just going to the doctor and getting a script when I don't feel well. It's like all these other tools that I can actually add to my tool belt that are empowering. It's like I'm in control of my health and I can kind of choose how I support myself. I guess we're seeing such trends with like holistic health, and there are saunas and ice baths on every corner of every, you know, popular wellness community. For women, what I'm finding is I'm struggling to understand what actually is good for my nervous system and good for my body. I love the way an ice bath makes me feel, but then I'm like, is that damaging to my hormones? How can we sort of clarify for women? Because a lot of the science actually exists for men. There's not that much for women's bodies. What do we need to do to support our nervous systems, but also be able to, I guess, enjoy these practices?
The thing to always remember, and this is, I sort of explain the nervous system like a traffic light. So we've got green lights, orange lights, and red lights. Most of the time we want green lights. Like imagine driving on a 2-hour trip and you get all green lights. Amazing, right? Mm-hmm. We get all orange lights. It's a bit like agitating. All red lights, it's like everything's sort of in a shutdown. So what we want to do is get into that green light. So we have to think, okay, what's going to help me get into that?
Mm-hmm.
A green light is what's called our ventral vagal nervous system. Mm-hmm. That's where you feel a sense of play, a sense of pleasure, fun, curiosity, calm, those things. So that's where I go, okay, well, for a lot of patients, and I ask them in the intake form, I'll say, one, how safe do you feel in your environment? But also, how much pleasure do you experience on a daily basis? And how much sense of fun do you experience on a daily basis? And this is the one question that breaks my heart when I read it, because so many people mark themselves a 1 or a 2 out of 5.
I was just thinking about myself. I'm like, I don't really have play on a daily basis. Yeah. I have that like once a week if I go on like a date night with my boyfriend. There's no like daily sense of play.
Yeah. So that's where it's like, okay, well, yes, you could be doing these saunas and ice baths and they have so many, they have numerous effects, yes, on your nervous system, but also the fundamentals as well, the other fundamentals. But say, for instance, when you're putting yourself into an ice bath, think about your body always wants balance. That's its number one rule. So if you go in cool outside, what's your body trying to do inside? Heat you up.
Yeah.
Right? So it's when we heat up, our metabolism speeds up because it's like the engine. So if you rev an engine fast, it gets really hot. If you put yourself into a sauna, what's it trying to do? We don't want to heat up as well. We overcook. So we want to cool down. So that's why we're sweating and we're trying to cool that internal body. So it's slowing things down. So when you go into a orange light, it's like your nervous system's like revving really fast. So that's what happens when you go into an ice bath, you go into an orange light. When you go into a sauna, you can go into a red light.
Right.
So it can be really helpful when you are stuck in one. It's sort of, and we feel it when you do it. You're like, whoa, this is a bit of a shock. And then you can like reset.
Yeah.
And that's often what they say. If you're stuck in that orange light, that sympathetic activation, fight, flight, and you're feeling really stressed and anxious, lots of psychiatrists now, maybe not lots, some, are saying sprint as fast as you can for 30 seconds. And then afterwards it's like, oh.
Change state.
Because your body literally, if you've activated your sympathetic nervous system to that amount, it has to go into a parasympathetic state to balance.
Wow.
That's what it does. So that's the really cool thing about the body. You're like, oh, if I want this result, maybe I'll do this on the outside and my body will have to balance by adapting the other way. So it's really cool when we can do that. But what I would say to your question is, what's going to put you in a green light? That's the question you should be asking yourself. So a lot of the times when I ask patients, I say, what do you do for fun? A lot of them really struggle to answer the question. They're like, I don't know.
Wow.
Or I love ice baths. I'm like, do you love doing them or you love the feeling after?
Yeah. Or do you think you should be love doing, like,
exactly,
love doing them?
Right. It's like, does anyone really love?
I hate them.
Love feeling really cold? I don't. No. So that's where it's, yes, they can be good for you. But if we're really thinking about green lights, it's giving yourself the permission to actually just feel good for the sake of feeling good. That is it. That is what play is. That is what fun is. You're doing it for the sake of feeling good whilst you're doing it. But I think a lot of us are like, oh, well, okay, well, I'll meditate so then I get this thing, or I'll write in my journal so then I do this. It's like, no, what do you actually want to do? Like, what do you like?
Do that.
Yeah, it's like, just do that. And like, that's the best thing you can do for your hormones, because your nervous system's in a green light, your cortisol comes down, then your body can ovulate, releases progesterone, your estrogen balances because your gut is working better, you can excrete all the toxins, like everything starts to work in union because, as I said, you just give your body what it needs, get out of its way, and all the systems work together.
So what do you do for play in your life?
Oh, so many things. How I start my day is I will often wake up and I'll say thank you because I think it's a really nice way to start the day. And then I often will naked dance in my room.
I love that. Is it the same music every day?
Different.
Okay. Depending on the mood.
Yeah, depending on the mood. But I've got a Spotify playlist that's like, I call it green lights.
Epic.
And I'm like, okay, it's all the things that help me feel like that. And then when I realize throughout the day, because inevitably things happen and you're never going to stay in a green light the whole day, I would just bring myself back to either my body, bring myself into the presence. So like, what can I feel? What can I see? What can I taste? What can I smell? Like all of those things. It's like, oh, okay, I've dropped in. And then just like reminding yourself of, okay, what is actually, where's my GPS set for today? Because sometimes like, oh, my GPS is set for, I need to get this done. Like today I have a busy day, but I didn't intentionally do that. I'm like, my intention today is that I want to enjoy this interview. I want to enjoy what I'm doing after this. Like I just want to enjoy it and milk it and be like, how cool is it that
this
I get to
life.
Do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my intention. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to do all the things that I need to do. I still do them, but I get to actually be there and do it. So sometimes it's drinking a cup of tea in the bath and going like, how could I make this situation even better? And sometimes you'll catch yourself, and I catch myself going, say for instance, I'm doing work and I'm like, okay, like I need to have lunch. paying attention to my body being hungry. Sometimes I don't do that and it's like, oh, it's 3 o'clock and I really was hungry like, 2 hours ago. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to my favorite sushi place and get sushi. And I'm like, and then I'll come back and I'll be eating it whilst I'm doing this. I'm like, okay, nah. What's actually going to feel, what's going to feel alive for me? That's my like, that's when I know I'm in a green light, when I feel alive. Oh no, I'm going to take that down to the beach and I'm going to eat it on the beach. Finding it's not windy and sandy. So that's where I'm like, oh, that's how I could make that even better. And that's when I'm like, when I get into bed at the end of the day, I'm like, oh, that was a good day.
That mindfulness piece is so important too. Like I recently did a burnout to balance challenge because I was noticing off the back of coming back from America, I was quite burnt out. And I thought I need to stick to a set of habits. Like I'm not one for rigid rules, but I thought just for the sake of 75 days, I'm going to see if I can stick to these habits that will allow more play and joy in my life. And one of them was eating without technology, because I feel like so often I make these beautiful meals and then my partner and I sit down and he's like checking his phone and the Netflix is on. And so I was like, for the next 75 days, we are going to have our dinner and we're going to take a mindful breath before we eat so our nervous system is calm, and then we're going to enjoy what we're actually eating. And it's the best thing we've ever done. We haven't had a meal with technology since, even though that finished like nearly 2 months ago now. So
yeah,
it makes such a difference.
That's what we had like as a family when I grew up. It was always everyone sit at the dinner table. There was never any technology, and we would always have the question, what was the best part of your day?
I love that.
It was always and we still do it now, and I do it with my housemates. I do it with whoever I'm having dinner with.
Yeah.
And it is a nice ritual, and it brings you back into.
If you don't make those moments for yourself, then yeah, your life will just pass you by, I think, and you get stuck in the achievement loop of ticking off your perpetual to-do list.
Yeah. There's a funny story with our family dinners. I remember I was at home with my two younger siblings. My older ones had moved out, and my parents have businesses across Australia, and her mind was elsewhere. She was okay, I need to do these things after dinner. And we were just, she's like, hey, what was the best part of the day? Doing like the ritual, going through the motions sort of. And I can't remember what one of my other siblings said. And they were just taking a long time. And mum was just like, you could just tell she's getting frustrated. And she's like, come on. Like, and I see to this day, it's like a core memory for all of us, because we're like, how hilarious. There's this ritual that we have to connect be calm. And you were just like,
get to the point.
Like, get to the point. And we're like, we don't even know what the story was, but it's just like, it's such an awesome memory to think back to and be like, oh, how hilarious
that
is.
That is so funny.
So that's the cool thing. Like you're just being open to be pleasantly surprised every day and going like, who knows what's going to happen? And maybe the worst thing could be the best thing.
And also it's never going to be perfect. Like as long as you're aware of it and you're trying it, like your mum, I'm sure that day she was just like, I can't do it today. But as long as you've got those behaviours that you're striving towards, it makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
I guess for anyone who's listening that is feeling a little bit stuck with their health journey, maybe they are in the space in between and they've been dismissed by doctors. They know intuitively that something's wrong, but they don't know what it is. Where can they start?
So I would start, I have lots of different resources on my website, but the first thing that you can do right now is what we just spoke about, like actually tuning into your body and just getting a little bit curious.
What is my body telling me?
What is my body actually telling me? And know that it is looking out for you. It isn't working against you. And then just getting curious and looking after those four female fundamentals. So the easiest but often the hardest thing for people to do, but it's the biggest bang for your buck, is literally getting into a green light. So the easiest thing that I would say is think about what you actually enjoy.
Yeah.
And do that and prioritize that. Mm-hmm. So if you can do that, a lot of your other symptoms will probably fall away. Yeah. But then it's really going, okay, well, how can I look after the other fundamentals? So core basic things for your metabolism is move your body every day, get out in the sunshine and touch your feet or body on the ground.
Ground yourself.
Yep. Those are the three main things directly that help the metabolism. Mm-hmm. It's going to be affected by the other ones as well, but that's directly for that. And then in terms of nutrients, I'm not someone that is a proponent for any diet. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you need all different types of proteins, fats and carbs, fiber. You need all of them because they help build different things in your body. Yep. So I'm more about going, okay, focus on getting, for women, it's around 130 grams of protein. And I build, if anyone follows me on Instagram, I post my meals that I put up there. Your meals probably look divine. Mine don't. I'm like,
sausage.
Okay.
I saw the other day, it was like sausage and some fruit.
I was just like, I'm like, okay, I'll have steak. Great. That's my protein.
Perfect.
For breakfast. Like, yeah. I'll have steaks for breakfast. I'm like, oh, but I really feel like I've got some fresh raspberries, yum, and then I've got some seaweed sheets, and then I'll have some cucumber. It's like, okay, perfect. Great. Amazing. That was delicious. So it's really around nutrients, like going, okay, what can I put in that's really great? And then also going, okay, what am I surrounded by that's not good? So am I drinking a lot of alcohol? That's a big thing. It's like probably a no-go. Have it on occasion, but not all the time. And then also, what are the things possibly in my environment that might be throwing off my internal body? So like, am I using a lot of fragrances or artificial things, plastics, that type of stuff? You can just be cautious of that and go, okay, how could I limit that? And then in terms of your blood sugars are really going to be balanced when you prioritize the protein at every meal and you avoid having what I call naked carbs. So naked carbs are just a carbohydrate by themselves.
No protein or fat.
Yeah. So it's just going to help your blood sugars be nice and stable across the day instead of that. So it's not.
People are going to say, I wish there was, you know, something a bit more like profound, but it is profound when you do this work because
there's no
magic solution. You have to actually do the work and break down the areas of your life that need support and how you can support yourself more. There's no like magic sentence that it's, oh, you just need to do this and that'll work for everyone.
And when you can really be able to connect to your body, that is when you use your body, not your bias or your body, not like, okay, it's this thing that I saw an ad for, that's the thing that's going to fix me or that's the thing. It's like, okay, but if you develop that connection with your body, that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life. And then that's going to help you make decisions, not only for your health and what you're doing for your health, but also your whole life. So it's like, that is the best thing that you can be doing. Get yourself into a green light, connect to your body, do those basic things for your fundamentals. And most of the time, you're going to feel a lot better.
Incredible. That's amazing advice. And it also not only improves your life, but the lives of the people around you that live with you or that, you know, you're servicing in your life. Thank you so much for all the wisdom you've shared. We'll wrap up. I always ask every guest the same question to finish the episode. So interpret this however you like, and you can answer in as many or as little words as you like. But that question is, Dr. Anthea, what is the meaning of life?
Oh my gosh. I think the meaning of life is to experience the hell out of it. If it feels bad, if it feels good, that's the beauty of it, that you get to actually feel it. That's the thing.
I love it. I love that. Thank you so much. Where can people find you if they want to do the hair test that you mentioned or they want to just buy your book or get more of the resources that you share? What are the best places to do that?
So you can find me. My website is femalefundamentals.com.au and my Instagram is dr.anthiatodd.
Perfect. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I need to go have some water and stretch because that's what my body's telling me. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love me to chat to next. Or if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, you can connect with me directly on Instagram at LifeChatsPodcast, one word. Until next time, I'm Georgia May and this is Life Chats.